Man, you guys are dead, huh? I heard your voice up here. Doesn't he look like he's in the mafia today? Look at him. Came out with his little round glasses on. He's got the black on him. He looks tough. I like that. It's scary. Amen. Turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. Appreciate that. He already prayed for us. So we'll jump right into it and try to gain some ground today. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was praying about what to do. And at first I was going to do a whole thing on adoption, which is some good stuff. And then I got studying that thing out, and the Lord just kind of changed gears just slightly. I am going to hit on adoption a little bit. But if you look into Timothy, now I'll give a quick little preface. You guys should know, as a Bible believer, if you've been saved for a little while, you should know. Is it banging? Is it something banging on this thing? Or is it just me? Okay. Sounds like it's banging on me. Okay. Timothy. So Paul leads Timothy to the Lord, right? And Timothy grows up and he shows himself faithful as a young man. And he's given marching orders to go ahead and take over church and be a pastor. Now, 1st and 2nd Timothy is loaded with doctrine. Not only doctrine, but it's loaded with different rules of the church that Timothy's supposed to teach and preach. It's hitting. Esther, can you do something about it? Is it me or is it hitting? It's banging on me. But anyway, I love Timothy. And of course, you know, being a Marine and everything else and who I am, of course, my favorite chapter in Timothy is going to be what? Chapter 2, right, about being a soldier and warfare and all that stuff. And I will hit on some of that stuff, but I'm going to kind of take a different direction here just slightly. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son." We can stop there for just a second. Now, that's one of the greatest things about being a Christian is you're a son. Yep. If you think about that. And that's where this whole adoption thing comes in. I'll hit on that in just a second. But there's so many days, and I'll say this with no reservations, and if you're honest and you're not a liar, you'll agree with me and you'll shake your head yes, and you'll say, how many days do you not feel like a Christian either? There's some days where you're just rotten, you're living in your flesh, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, thinking about things you ought not to be thinking about. Yep. And you catch yourself in a thought and you're like, am I really even saved? Of course, you know the answer is yes. Yeah. But you should say, man, I'm a dirty dog. I am a dirty dog. Dr. Ruckman used to always tell us, you know, the Lord leaves enough fleas on you to realize that you're still a dog. Think about that. You're rotten, and so am I. Just the things that go in your mind, even right now, some of you have some thoughts right now in your mind that's going through. It shouldn't even be there. Yeah. What is that? Well, you're still a son.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? You're still a son. You may not feel like a very good one, but you're still a son. But you know what doctrine does to you? Doctrine kind of squishes all that junk in your brain. Doctrine pushes aside stuff and it makes a good separation in your mental capacities. Well, how can I think these things? Well, the Bible says you have two natures. That's how you can think those things. Well, how can I be thinking about so-and-so? How can my secret pet sin is I have an issue with so-and-so? You fill a blank in. You're all just as dirty as I am in here. You got sins that you struggle with every day just like I do. And some of you might have a different set of sins that I have no problem with. I don't have a problem with smoking and drinking. Cussing, unless I get really mad. No, I'm just kidding. Right? No, really. I mean, the word might come out, but I don't have an issue with cussing. I don't go around every day having the Lord, please help me not to say the what bomb or this or that. I don't have a problem with that. But maybe you do. But I have a problem with other things in my life, and I'm not going to tell you what they are. The Lord knows, right? Because I got fleas just like you. But I'm still a son. The Bible says, I am a son. How can I be a son? Well, I was adopted. That's how. Look what the Bible says. Now, Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, thou therefore, my son. Now, preface that little paraphrase, half a verse says, now thou therefore, because of these things, Timothy, I've written, this is already in the 2 Timothy. I've already put 1 Timothy. I've already told you all the different doctrines about, you know, about the end times coming, about people falling away and not caring, about seducing spirits coming out and messing you up and messing the church up and all these things. Because of all these things, Timothy, don't forget, you're still a son.
Yeah.
And that's a blessing. Yeah. So look what the Bible says. We'll talk about adoption for just a moment or two. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. You're adopted. Do you really understand? I know we talked about just recently about adoption. I think Ryan might even have said, if I'm not mistaken, about adoption laws being stronger than, you know, You can't disown legally a child once you're adopted. There's stronger laws favoring an adopted child than a natural born child. That's what I'm getting at. It is true. Now, how much stronger would it be with God? You think about that. Now, that's a good thing, because if you could mess things up, you would, and I would. If you could become a messed up son, guess what? You would. And if you could become unadopted, you would be do that as well. But look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. We'll go up in verse 14. Well, let's go to 13. 13 is so good, I'll hit that as well. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, if you live after the flesh, it says, you shall die. That's true. That's why we have a Seven Pillars program, recovery addiction. That's why Saturday nights we go out and talk to these guys. You might call them bums or whatever you want to call them, but I'll tell you what, they're men and they have issues. And yes, some of them are there by choice, and that drives me insane. I just want to slap them around. Some of those guys collect a check, and I don't know if you guys do back there. I love you, but if this is something that hits you, then let it hit you and make a change in your life. Because what happens out there, and I know this because 4 years been out there, I don't know why I'm because of dead, that's why I'm saying this. If you live after the flesh, I'm going to try to stay on point today. If you live after the flesh, you will die, okay? What's the end of that thing? Well, the end of that thing is you're on the street, you got no job, you got no money, you got no car, you got no wife. Right, you got no more pride, you got no more self-esteem, you got nothing anymore but the bottle and the cigarette and the drug and the needle and the pill and the smoke, and you go on and on and on. That's what you got. You know what happens? You die. You chase that stuff, you will die physically. Yeah. Now, as an adopted son of God, daughter of God, if you will, I know doctrinally, I get it, I won't go there, but you will also die spiritually. You chase after this world, you chase after these things spiritually, you will die. And you'll be sitting in a pew looking like a tree owl and just be like a blank stare in your face. It's the same stare that I see on the street from the druggie that's just gone. He's not there. Why? Because you're spiritually dead. The Bible says you can be physically dead. The Bible says you can be spiritually dead. It's one or the other, brother. You're either going to live for the Lord or you're going to die.
Yep.
It's that simple. Amen. So I won't jump on that too long, but it says in verse 12, Romans 8, and verse, 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, now there's the key, capital S, the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall die. So when you get saved, you're supposed to put something to death, yourself. Suicide. No, it's not suicide. What is it? Spiritual suicide, almost. In other words, what I'm getting at is when you die, when you get saved, you're supposed to reckon yourself dead because of the cause of Christ. You're supposed to say, well, I'm dead. I want to smoke that cigarette. Nope, I'm dead. My flesh is dead. You're my enemy. Get away from me. I want to pop that pill. Nope, I'm dead. I want to look at such and such. I'm dead. I want to watch something. No, you're dead. You're serving Jesus Christ. That's your attitude. That's what you're supposed to think mentally. We don't always think that way, do we? We like to sit there and watch what we want to watch. Oh, I'm just going to pass by and pause for us. Oh, I shouldn't watch that. Right? Am I right?
Yep.
That's why I don't have one of those things in my house. Not because I'm spiritual, because I'm not. That's why, because I watch the thing. Granted, I will watch hunting and fighting and all that cool stuff. I'll watch that stuff, right? And I still will if I have a chance. But I want to live after the Spirit. That's, and it says, do mortify the deeds of the body. I'm talking about adoption. Here we go in verse 14. For as many, now notice that. Isn't that something? As many. Why doesn't it say all? How come it doesn't say everybody that's led by the, because you're not all led by the Spirit. That's why. Some of you in here today are not led by the Spirit of God on a regular, continual basis. Some of you are led by your what? Flesh. It's not the devil's fault. Take a step back. Most of the problems in your life is not because it's the devil. It's because of you. It's because of your own flesh, your own stupid, my own stupid decisions in the past, present, and the future. Or because I am leading and following after my flesh, what Joe Vertkowski wants to do.
Right.
And what I have to do is reckon myself dead because of Jesus Christ. Thank God I have a wife that's not afraid to gently remind me that I'm off track. Right, hon? Yeah, amen. That's right. So it says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right, they are. Now, many there, of course, it's doctrinally saying lost people, lost and saved. But what I'm saying spiritually is that, like I said, just to repeat myself to be redundant, is that you don't always follow the Lord. Nobody does. Nobody gets 100% on every test all the time. They don't do it, right? Ryan's a classmate. I try as hard as I can. Sometimes I beat everybody. Sometimes I don't, right? Or he doesn't. But we don't always hit 100% all the time. That doesn't mean you're still not a son. That doesn't mean you're still not adopted into the family of God. Timothy's reminded of that. Why do you have to remind Timothy of that? Shouldn't he already know that? Look, Timothy's like a young pastor, up and coming. He's strong and this and that. Why is that? Because you need reminded. You know what Sunday school is for? To remind you. That's why when I get a chance, I like to drill it in your head, because I'm drilling it in my head, because I'm stupid, you're stupid, you forget stuff, and you need reminding, and you need drilling, and you need drilling, and you need drilling. Why does the Bible say all the time, remember, 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 remember? You ever read your Bible and see that? Because you forget. You don't have to be old or young or nothing. You have a brain. You forget. Because of modern technology, you forget the things of God. Amen. Because the cell phone's more important than your Bible. I get it. Facebook and FaceTime and all that other slop taken out of proportion is more important than your Bible reading. I get it. For the average, maybe not some of you in here, but for the average Christian, yes. The average Christian spends what? 4.5 hours on social media, Facebook, 6.5 hours on all the junk combined, internet. You walk into someone's house, everything is, you got the Nest, you got the Cube, you got Siri, you got this thing, you got Alexa, you got this junk. It's like, what is all this computerized stuff doing? Is it really helping you to get closer to God? Now, granted, I will say this, technology is a great thing, so is modern medicine when it's used properly. Amen. I mean, you can go on Google in half a second and research any Bible question there is known to man. Something will come up. It may not be right, but something will come up. I'm just saying, you want to get your message from Google, you're going to sound like it, believe me, I promise. Amen. All right, so back to the word here. The Bible says, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption. That's a blessing. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So if you're saved in here, there should be something inside of you that says, you know what? I know maybe I think wrong. I know maybe I did wrong. I messed up last week, whatever it is. But something deep inside of your heart should say, God, I know I'm your son. God, I hate myself sometimes. Or I hate this world. Take me out of here. I'm not saying hurt yourself. I'm saying, like, spiritually, let's go. If you're saved, there ought to be something inside of you dragging like an undertow in an ocean, pulling you towards the things of Christ. And if you don't have that, I doubt your salvation. It's as simple as that. Well, maybe you're a brand new baby and Christian, like your little baby doesn't hardly know anything. You might smell the mommy and know the mommy, but that's it. If you're a brand new baby in Christ, I get it. But some of you are like, you know, the mold in Delaware. It's been hanging around for years and years and years and years and years. True. Some of you have been saved in here 20 years and something's not ringing a bell and you're not feeling a draw, there is something wrong. There's something wrong. Amen. The word adoption, you know, the Bible, in the King James Bible, the word adoption shows up 5 times. 5 times. Now, this is a little nugget the Lord gave me, and I didn't get this from Dr. Ruck or anybody else, and I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying, what is 5? The number of what? Death. So look at Romans chapter 6. Back up a page. Talking about adoption, Romans chapter 6. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead. Number 5. Indeed to sins, but what? Alive, adopted unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's your adoption process right there. You're supposed to reckon yourself dead. It's in the Bible 5 times. If you have a pen and care at all and want to write it down and take a look, here you go. Romans chapter 8:15 is one. Romans 8:23 is the second. Romans 9:4 is the third. Galatians 4:5 is the fourth. Ephesians 1:5 is the fifth. 5 times. I don't know what the other Bibles have. I'm sure they mess it up. They mess everything up. The other Bibles mess everything up. You know what definition means? It means legally take another child and bring it up as one's own. Isn't that a cool definition? I like that definition. Legally, I could take a child that wasn't born to me naturally by blood, and I could bring that child, man or woman only. No, there's no gender diversity in my house, believe me. One of the others coming into my house, I will straighten that out. Yes, you are a boy. Put this color blue on. You're a boy, right? Good to go. Here we go, right? I can legally adopt this child to become a Rutkowski for life. She used to be a Dudley. That's the second best thing that ever happened to her, right? She's not shaking her head. Anyway, I'll move on. I'll move on, right? Amen. Another meaning is this. It's a choose someone to receive special recognition. I like that one. So if you're adopted, you have a special recognition by God the Father, by the most powerful thing in the universe who created everything. You have a special recognition from him saying, that's my son. That's my daughter, if you want to say that spiritually, right? That's my child. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
you know why some of you aren't excited? Because you're not acting like it.
No.
That's why. That's exactly why. And, you know, it's not your fault 100% because some of you don't realize or don't know, but I'm going to tell you right now that this world will mess you up so bad that you won't have a clue whether you're coming or going, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you won't even know what you are.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you look at this stuff. But So I won't go into a whole lot of thing about adoption. Let me just, I'll just hit on a couple things real quick here. I got a little bit of time. I want to say this about adoption. When you lead someone to the Lord, when you start the adoption process, to help another person get into the body of Christ, okay? You know, there's something that happens. The adoption is a process, but what I'm trying to get at is it's easy to get saved, but what happens is the modern Christian does this easy believism thing just to get people 1, 2, 3, pray after me. Okay, he's in. I had 15 saved. I'm not saying maybe this church. I know we try to do it right, but maybe there's some of you in here that are a little bit on the other side. You see what I'm saying? In other words, yes, it's easy to get saved, but if you don't repent from your sins, realize that you're a sinner on your way to hell with God's wrath on you because of what you are, then you're not saved. Show me in the Bible one time, one place where someone says, don't worry about hell, just allow Jesus to come into your life. Show me that once in the Bible, anywhere, any Bible. I challenge you, do that. Show me one time. There is no allow Jesus into your heart and everything's nicey nice. It's the Jesus was at the well and said, you know what? Where's your husband at, lady? I can't even tell you the word that she just insinuated to call her. Hey, lady, where's your husband at? Oh, it's not your husband. How about the other five you've been shacking up? That's Jesus Christ. You know what he did? He pointed to you, John the Baptist, says, thou art the man. You're a sinner. And guess what happened? I'm not saying it had to be that rough, but they were. Be nice about it. How are you going to be nice? You're a sinner on your way to hell. At least you're telling the truth. You want to smile and be sweet about it and tell them the truth? I'm okay with that. I don't even care if you wear a pink shirt. I'm okay with that. Wear a pink shirt, tell the truth. I'm cool. Everything, no pun. That's cool. But what happens is that this age that we're in is so like, just, I'm going to get to it in a few minutes if there's time, but let's bring everybody together. Kumbaya. We love everybody. Allow Jesus in your heart, brother, and you're in heaven. That's not Bible. That's not biblical salvation. You missed the adoption. You never got it. You know what? You'd realize that the Bible says that you are a child of the devil if you're not saved. You need to be adopted out of the devil's side, his family, and get into the proper family that you were ordained to be in. That's the family of God through Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? Yeah. And that's the next biggest heresy. And I'll move on from this thing, but is that there were the fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. We're talking about doctrine. We're talking about these things that we're going over with on Sunday mornings and stuff. That's one of the false doctrines. God's not everybody's father. Amen. If you're saved and been through Calvary, if you're underwashed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're God's adopted son. He's your father. That's it. No other way. Now, spiritually speaking, in the Old Testament, I mean physically rather, literally speaking, the Jews' fathers, their Jewish blood lineage goes back to what? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those things, right? And then through the seed of David and everything else, here comes out of the tribe of Judah comes what? Jesus Christ. So literally, physically, the Jews have a bloodline that runs through, and there's the Messiah, right? Yeah. Right, exactly. But guess what? In the New Testament, they are not the child of God. A Jew needs to be saved, just like you need to be saved if you're lost. They could have the physical lineage, but they're not spiritually in the family of God. Yeah. And they're about to be judged for that very shortly as we get closer to it. Amen. The adoption process. Amen. So be careful. When you lead someone to the Lord, I'm not saying to be a jerk or be as half as rough as I could be at times. That's my nature and that's who I am. I will get to it in a minute if there's time, but I like the I'd rather err on the side of caution. I would rather be a lot bit more militant, right? Because that's what pleases the Lord. Amen. You're called and chosen to be a soldier. In Revelation, it talks about all things are created. It's his favorite verse, right? Eric Raleigh's verse, right? He loves it. Revelation 4, right? You're created for his pleasure. Right. Well, if you are created for his pleasure, you know what the Bible says his pleasure is? It pleased him to what? Choose you to be a soldier. Militant mindset. This soft, mushy Christianity does not please the Lord. Amen. The Bible commands it. But you know what happens is you get together and you get clacking heels and you get around all these other highfalutin Baptists and preachers that are all puffed up, and you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not pointing anybody out specifically. I'm saying they're out there. Some of them floating through this church. They're out there. And what I'm trying to say is that you get slapping elbows and all of a sudden you kind of forget the militant mindset a little bit. Because every Christian likes to be on the parade deck, but they don't like to be in the battle. And that's what I'm getting at this morning. That's what I want to drive in a little bit. You got to have a balance. Hey, revival and all this stuff. Hey, that's cool, and it's good to get lifted up. But you know what? You can't have all the milk and all the positivity without taking the pill once in a while. You realize that, don't you? God, that's God's way. And if you read your Bible at all, it will drill you over and over and over and over again. But you can read your Bible totally deceived and just skip over all that stuff. And I think the Lord will even hide it from you if your heart's not right. You want to have this soft, milky Christianity, the Lord will give it to you. The Lord will give it to you. And you know what? You'll pay for it too. The last day will come and you'll go before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord will look at you and he'll be like, you and Joel Osteen, go stand over there. Go ahead, stand over next to Joel. Joel, you get in front of him. Go, just wait a second. You're cool. You guys, all these pastel colors, you're over here. Cool. Camouflage, over here. That's where I want to be. Camouflage is cool, right? What am I getting at? Am I making fun? Am I driving a point home? Yes. The point is, it's better to be a little bit more militant than just to be soft and milky and just mushy, because there's no strength in mush. Zero. Zero strength. Zero. You want to be strong. And that's what it says. Back to 2 Timothy. In that same verse, it says what? Be strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. That's where we're at this morning. 2 verse 1, rather. Thou therefore, my son, we talk about the adoption process. My son, we've kind of hit that pretty good, I have. Be strong in the grace. Now be strong. I like that. That was our theme for what? This last youth rally, wasn't it? Be strong. Every guy wants to be strong. There's no guy on the earth that really wants, well, maybe there are some, but that want to be a wimp. Like, if you're any kind of man at all, even if you're not real strong or real tall or real big, there's something in a man's heart that's like, you know what? I don't want to be a wimp. Yeah, man. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Like, really, do anybody really aspire to be weak and like a wimp? Right, sir, do you? No, right? All right, I got to go around. I'm just kidding. But seriously, think about it. I like to exercise, lift weights. I like to do martial arts. Why? Because number one, it helps me. I enjoy it. I don't go out looking and picking fights. I enjoy the battle. The Bible says I'm supposed to be a soldier. I'm supposed to learn how to fight. So if I could do it physically, maybe I can pull some spiritual things out of there too.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You learn to control your flesh if you're a fighter. If you know these martial arts guys, they don't walk around puffing their chest and starting street fights all the time. They just walk like, hey, everything's cool, and if something happens, I don't worry, I'm good, right?
Yep.
That's the way a Christian ought to be. Hey, something happens, I'm good. I got the Father, I'm adopted.
Yep.
I'm ready, I've been in the battle, I've been reading my Bible, I know how to fight the Christian fight. I'm not saying challenge the devil, I'm not saying you can do that.
Yeah.
By the way, I'll hit this too. I'll just go ahead and throw a couple shotgun blasts out there. You can't fight the devil, did you know that? How about if you read your Bible, you know what the Bible says? Michael the archangel contended over the body of Moses.
Yeah.
And what did he say? He said, come on, devil, I'll take it. No, he said, hey, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you.
Yeah.
And you know what happened? It worked.
Yeah.
So don't go sitting here thinking, oh, I'll just bind that old split-tailed devil by the tail and I'll do it. You ain't going to do squat.
Yeah.
You can't even read your Bible faithfully. You ain't doing nothing, Jack. Seriously, think about that. You can't even be faithful in the little things. You think you're going to go ahead and up against the most powerful being in the universe?
Yeah.
Go sit down, sonny. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Look, Michael the archangel couldn't do it. You can't either.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's an example of how destroyed Christianity is today. You get all these songs about how powerful and strong you are as a Christian. No, you're not. You're weak.
Amen.
You're weak as the day is young. Without Jesus Christ, you're very weak. I'm not saying you can't be strong spiritually. I'm saying you don't think you got power to take on something like that. You can't even live your own victorious life, let alone mess with that dude.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, there's something about that grace. I want to think about that for a minute. You ever seen what the Bible talks about grace? You ever think about that? Seriously. Can anybody give me a quick little definition of grace? I know, don't be afraid if it's wrong or whatever. I won't jump on you if I think it's wrong. Can anybody tell me what grace means? Just something. It doesn't have to be exactly perfect. Just go ahead. That's very good. Absolutely. What else? Amen. 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 Anybody else? Grace. Right? Good. Now, did anybody know the first time that the word grace shows up in the Bible? If you want to learn about a word in the Bible, take a concordance. Look at the first mention, look at the last mention, and look at about a half a dozen in the middle. You know what you're going to get? You're getting a nice, good, old-fashioned Polaroid snapshot. Remember those things, those instant things? You wave them in the air like this. Remember those? Who remembers those things, right? I'm that old. I remember. Josh is like, if it ain't digital, I don't know what you're talking about, right? So here you go. That's how you take a snapshot of something of interest in the Word of God. So you know what? I want to know what grace means. Okay, when's the first time God shows up? What happened? Who's talking? What's the circumstance? And I'll tell you, the first time grace shows up, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, I believe it is. This is the first time in the King James Bible the word grace shows up. And Jamie, you're absolutely right. Grace, and Noah realized that right away. You know, look at Genesis chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 5. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of America was great in 2018. There we are. I'm telling you what, I bet you, I almost think it's worse than what was going on here. Maybe it wasn't, but I'll tell you what, it is unbelievable. I've seen a picture on the internet that I really shouldn't even talk about, but a bunch of males were walking down the street in bikinis protesting against Trump. Yeah. Trump's not right in the head, impeach him. What are you wearing, dude? It's like, what's going on, man? I mean, these people are nuts. But back to the Bible, it says in Genesis chapter 6, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great. Right? Look down at verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and he grieved him at his heart. Right? And the Lord said, I will destroy man. The Lord said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. Was he in his flesh? The Lord's like, you know, think about that. Really, think about that. The Lord's like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of your junk. I'm going to just kill you. That's who we're dealing with here, people. Listen, that's the God of the Bible. He says, I had enough. You know what? Look what the Bible says. It repented the Lord, verse 6, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, and creeping thing. Now, I'll try to watch what I say and be gently here, but let me just say this. Do you know, just raise your hand, do you know why the beast had to be killed?
Yeah.
Some of you do, seriously. Yeah. Do you know why they had to kill the beast? The Lord did, because like it says in Romans, that men were working with men unseemly things and also with animals. Yeah, you get that, adults? And you register what I'm trying to say here? They're messing with animals. How sick is that?
Right.
You know, in 2018, in some states, in some places, it's legal you can marry your dog or your cat or your hamster or your pig or your rat. Do you realize that? You can legally marry your dog. What is that? What is going on? The Bible. That's what's going on. In the last days, men should be lovers of their own selves, their own ways. I don't care about you, God. I'm going to marry my dog. How nuts is that? Lord said in Genesis, I had enough. Look down at about the end of verse 7. It says, for it repented me that I have made them. I'm sorry I even made them. I'm so sick of these filthy creatures. That's a pretty negative annotation from the Lord about mankind. That's how the Lord thinks about the thoughts in your mind.
Yep.
He just wants to kill you.
Yep.
Amen. But Jesus said, nope, I'll fix the problem. We'll put a separation, Colossians 2. We'll do an operation. We'll separate that stuff. We'll give people a chance to strive to live spiritually, although they're living with the old dead dog, and that's the way it works. But back here in Genesis chapter 6, talking about this grace thing, verse 8. But Noah found
grace.
You know what Noah's grace was? He wasn't going to get murdered. Think about that.
Yeah.
Noah's grace was he doesn't get to drown. You ever get your lungs filled up with water? It's a scary thing. I have a couple times. I know they train the Navy SEALs. They basically kill them and bring them back to life. That's part of their water training. How friendly and nice is that, right? That's what they do.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're teaching them not to panic, right?
Right?
That's right. So grace is not getting, Sister Jamie, not getting what you what?
Deserve.
Noah deserved to die, because I'm sure he had thoughts, but he tried to live righteous. God spared him and his family, and he tried to get others on the ark, but they laughed and they mocked him and they scorned him, just like the folks do today. You know, when you go street preaching, I challenge you, if you've never been street preaching, go street preaching. You know, do it for like a month straight or 6 months straight. You know who you're going to get the most problems out of? Other Christians, quote unquote Christians. They're going to say, you're not doing it right. Really? That's what I usually say, but you know what? I try to be nice to them. Well, see, when I preach, I'm rougher, but when I deal with somebody one-on-one, I try to take the gentle approach. Because I want to be I want to listen to what they have to say, even though 99% of the time I've heard it 10 times, and it's a bunch of junk, and they don't even know what they're on. They just want to talk to hear themselves talk.
Right.
So if you want to win someone to the Lord, just shut up and listen to them for an hour. If you got the time, and your wife's not yelling at you, and the baby's not crying, and your cell phone's not blowing up, and your Facebook account's not tweeting you, and all this other junk, right? That's the world you live in. You don't even have an hour to give to the Lord most of the time, right? Amen. But Noah found grace. Now, think about the character of God, and the Bible interpretation of the word grace is not getting what you deserve. Look in Revelation chapter 22. This is the last mention of the word. Now you got to really, I want you to just to consider what I'm saying here. You may not agree with it. You may think I'm weird or wrong or stupid, but I want you to take a look at the Bible here. And look what it says, chapter 22 in Revelation, verse 21. The Bible says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You're like, I got grace. Thank you, Jesus. What do you realize what just happened right here? Just back up a couple of verses. Let me preface this word grace here in the last book of Revelation, chapter of Revelation. All right, 17. And the spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. Amen. And the let him that athirst come. In Isaiah 55, it says, ho, let us come and drink of the water. Ha! And do this, and ha! And the woman at the well, and ha! And ha! You know what happens? Everybody gets all emotionally, and they're all happy. Yeah, come drink of the water. Everything's great. But guess what? Take a look. Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to things of this book, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Yeah, hold on. Take a drink of that water and get all excited. But guess what? Don't add to God's word here or else you're going to get a plague. Amen. Like leprosy. And your body parts are going to fall off if you mess with my word. Yeah. But grace, go ahead, have grace. Do you realize what you're reading here? Do you realize what the God that we're messing with here? Do you realize that? I don't think people do. I don't think people have a clue about the holiness and the nature of this God that we serve and that we're saved through. Look what the Bible says. And not only that, oh, come and take the water of life freely, and it's all great. Oh, by the way, verse 19, but if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his what? Part out of the book of life. He'll go to hell. So go ahead and take away from God's word here in Revelation towards the end times. Go ahead and do that, and guess what? If you add to the words, I'm going to give you the plague. Okay, and if that's not good enough, if you want to mess with my words and take something out that's not supposed to be there, you're going to go to hell. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. The Bible says that. Out of his part, out of the book of life, in the middle of 19, towards the end, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. 20, he that testify these things saith, surely I come, and I'm coming quick. Lord says, I'm coming quick, have grace, right? Drink of the water freely, everything's great, but you're going to get a plague, and if you mess with my words too much, I'm going to kill you, and you're going to end up in hell. But amen, have a good time.
Amen. Yeah.
Listen, people, this is the God that we're dealing with. This is the Bible that we're supposed to be reading on a daily basis. But the problem is, you got your head wrapped up in these TV evangelists. You got your mind messed up in these Facebook chat groups or whatever you got going on with all these mushy Christians, this God is love and, you know, all these women preachers and all this rah, 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 and just get everybody together and have a great time and just win them to the Lord. But you forget about who you're dealing with.
Amen.
You forget about the doctrinal things of God, okay? Grace is you don't have to go to hell if you're saved because you got adopted, right? And now you're a son of God. That's something to get excited about.
Amen.
That's a blessing. And that's the adoption process. Back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Is this making sense at all to some of you? I hope so. I hope so. It is good because it's not Joe. I appreciate that, though, but it's the Bible. It's simply the Bible, okay? If it's anything's good, I'm saying it's because it matches the Bible. And some of you in here are like, yeah, amen, and it's good. You know why? Because you're reading it. Because when you read your Bible and somebody gets up here, it takes about 29 seconds to realize that God's full of junk or else he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
if you read your Bible and pray and focus on the things of God, you know when someone's talking junk.
Yeah,
it's that simple.
Yeah,
takes about a half a second. Back to the Bible here. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, about the middle, says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, there's something else about this grace. First of all, grace is not a license to sin. Just because you have grace, it doesn't mean, oh, well, God will forgive me, and I know 1 John, and I know I'm faithful, I confess these things, and I'll be okay, but it's washing on the blood, and I know I can go ahead and mess up, and then I'll just get it right later, right? What a filthy way to think.
Amen.
What a filthy way to think. So you're just going to go ahead and cheat on God like that, and then go ahead and just get it right because you know he'll take you back?
Yeah.
That's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
You're going to give an account for that.
That's right. Amen.
And so am I. The next thing is not only is it not a license to sin, grace is not a license just to bring everybody together and forget about doctrine. And get that, and just to get them saved. You know, there's a church, I won't say it by name, Dover High School down the street, there's 2,000 people. Brother Earl, am I right about this? There's 2,000 people that gather at this quote-unquote church. Are they preaching the gospel? I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But I do know this. They got 100 people. I don't know if they're paid or not. But they got 100 people that all get together to put on a concert at 9:15 and 10:30 every day, every Sunday. 100 people get together. He's shaking his head. He's saying, yeah, right? I'm right, right? 100 people get together, and they got lights going and bow, Jesus. Really? Really? Some of you like that. You're like, go ahead, Joe. Keep going, right? No. Guess what? That's pretty pathetic. And they're drawing them in. There's no doctrine. There's no grace. Their grace is called compromise. Compromise isn't grace. They're not spelled the same. Right? They're not the same. They don't look the same. But modern Christianity presses it to be the same. They say, oh, just compromise and have grace with this person. I understand if they're just saved, have grace and try to help them. I get it. All right? But look, sometimes we take this way too far. Because someone that just says grace, and they've been saved for 2 years and they're still living like hell, guess what? They're either not saved or they just don't give a you-know-what, a rat's rip. That's the truth. They just don't care. So you're going to go ahead and waste all your time, energy, and family's money, effort, and time on someone that just doesn't care? At which time you're supposed to cut them off? Good question. I wonder if anybody can answer that biblically. When should you cut a so-called Christian off from wasting your time, according to the Bible? I think we ought to make an entire message out of that. That'd be good stuff. That'd be good research. Because the Bible says there is a time. Because that person's a heretic after what? The first and second time you go up and talk to them. Am I telling the truth? So biblically speaking, I'm not saying don't have grace and keep trying. I'm just saying, look, you know, I had another Christian, Brother Militello, said one time, he said, the devil's number one thing he's going to do to you is send Christians to you to waste your time. Because if you get all caught up on the wrong Christian trying to help out, there's someone that really needs it that's not getting it. You hearing me tonight, today? Somebody's not going to get what you can give them because you're caught up in the wrong stuff. It's that simple. And that's taking this hyper-grace situation. That's taking this word grace and just blowing it up into something that's not biblical. I'm not saying don't love people. Look, I'll even say this just for the sake of saying it another time. I've said it before. The queers on the street, I try to win them. And I talk to them. There was this dude named Donnie. I've told this story. I must say it again. Is the guy is an open, flamboyant, you-know-what that I shouldn't even say behind this pulpit. I should say it, but I won't. Maybe I should, but I can't. Isn't it terrible I got to feel this way? I just want to just let it out. I just want to, like, blast. But if I say how I really think and use a Bible word like sodomite, thank you, Ken, last time you said that, if I really came up and said that stuff, half of you want to leave. That's right. Because the news media's got you so preconditioned and so against the words of God that you get offended over things that are spiritually true. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Amen. Right? When you get a tick in you, you know what you got to do? You got to get it out. You got to pull it out. You got to yank it out because it's no good. And some of you need to yank some stuff out of your life that ain't good. And I do too. I'm not above you. I do too. I got to work on things as well. But here we go. Am I done with this Dover thing? I think I am, right? Oh, you know, I don't know if Jesse was here, but I was going to say this. If Jesse was here, I was going to say, look, they will love you. You know what they do down here? They have open auditions. You just go and they give you a list of songs and you got to do a rendition and play it this way, and that. And if they like you, you get a gig. Isn't that cool? You probably get paid. 2,000 people, you know, they each give a buck. I mean, that's 2,000 bucks. You know, you can get, it's good money, right? You can really do it. That's what Christianity is turning into today. And I'm going to say this, and I'll be dead and gone someday, and most of you in here will, some of the younger won't, but if you don't stand up like men in this church, that's what this place will turn into. These pews will be ripped out of here, they'll blow out the wings, and there'll be a rock concert with a band and drums in the back of that pew with Brother Evans. Another 20 years if you don't do something about it. It's up to you. You realize that? It's up to you. And the only way you can do it is from this book, from the Bible. That's the only way you're going to do it. You're not going to do it on hopes and dreams and, you know, muffin pans and all that. That's not going to happen. It's got to be Bible, okay? Bible works. The other stuff don't. I promise you that. Bake sales are cool and I like them, but guess what? It ain't going to work. Rock concerts ain't going to work. loving everybody to Jesus. It ain't gonna work. You got to bring them through the Bible way. I'm not saying don't love them. I'm trying to say the Bible way is what I'm trying to get at.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2. Not only that, grace is not a license to accept the world and bring it into the church.
Amen.
The world's supposed to be different. You realize that? And that's what God says. You know what? I'm tired of this world and all these dirty bags coming around here and doing all this filthy fornicating stuff. I don't like the way this stuff is. I'm going to wipe it out and do it right. The church is supposed to be a place where you come where you feel holy. And I know it's not a building. I realize it's the body of Christ, and I realize all that stuff. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, a church is supposed to be like a holy place. You go to learn about God, right?
Yeah.
You should cover your bodies up a little bit, some of you in here. You know, because I'm a man, and I have plenty of testosterone and everything else. And guess what? My mind's not always thinking right if I'm looking at your cleavage.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. I'll say it openly. I'm telling you right now. And you know what? If you're a real man of God trying to do right,
yeah,
you feel the same way.
Right.
Because I want to be clean. I don't want to see that stuff. When I go by the magazine rack in Royal Farms, I walk the other way.
Amen.
I don't want to see that junk.
Amen.
And you know what? You ought to not want other people to look at your personal stuff either.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's, you know what? Oh, just have grace. I did have grace. I'm not cussing you out like Nehemiah did. I'm not slapping you in the face and running you out of here. That's what Nehemiah did.
Yep.
I don't have time because I'm supposed to stop now, but I'll run in a couple more minutes because I might not do this again from the year. Amen, right? But that's what Nehemiah did. Back to the grace real quick, okay? Grace that is in the Bible, it's in Jesus Christ, is a very structured thing, and it's defined by the Bible. And I went all through that already. Remember that. It's in Genesis 6 and Revelation chapter 22. Now, I said this. Grace is not a license for Christians to act stupid, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. And I talked about that already, the water of life and great preaching and all that stuff. And I'm not saying don't get excited. I'm just trying to say, in the midst of your emotionalism, in the midst of your excitement, you need to be grounded. And you need to think, is this biblical? Is this biblical? If it is, then praise the Lord. Jump up and down. Do a backflip. Jump in the pool. I don't care. I like that stuff. I was here for that. That was awesome, right? But if someone's just getting you hyped up to either get in your wallet or to get you emotional or just to cause a stir, that's not Bible.
Right, yeah.
Every time the Holy Spirit fell upon a congregation in the Bible, you know what it was? It was a holy hush. And people were down and they were crying, they were weeping, they were like, oh, God, please don't kill me. Lord, I don't deserve your presence, God. No, Elijah was in the mountains, and guess what it was? God showed up. It wasn't, amen! You know what it was? What, Lord?
Still small voice.
That's how God works. God's not into big old lightning and the big old this and big old. God is in your heart in the quiet times with your Bible, and the Lord says, you need to fix this. You need to get this right. You need to think this way because this is proper. You need to stop looking at this because this is not correct. If you want to live for God, this is the path you need to take. If you don't care, then you go ahead and go your way. The Bible says if you deal with the Lord, you got to deal with him two ways, in spirit and in
truth.
God deals with you the same way, in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And this morning you've been indoctrinated, you've been shotgunned with a whole bunch of truth this morning.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to take it or not?
Yeah.
You got a free will. You're not a machine, you're not a robot,
right?
You're not a spam bot, a robot, whatever you call these malicious wear things you got to worry about getting on your cell phone. You know what you got? You got a free will. And here's how it works in the Bible. You got your will, you got the devil's will, and then you got God's will. You got three choices, right? 33.5%, right? Pick one, two, three. What do you want? Well, most of us, if you're honest in here, you're probably at what? Like, your will is probably split up somewhere in between them, right? Well, yeah, Lord, I'll follow you, but boy, it would be really cool to have this, this, and this, this, and that as I'm following you. So it's really not the Lord's will. It's kind of like the Lord's plus, like, your will a little bit, right? Let's just be honest as Christians. Isn't that how we operate? We really want a piece of the action for ourselves, not really for the Lord. Because
yeah.
The Lord will ask you to do some things that are uncomfortable.
Amen.
If you read the Bible, you'll see it.
Yeah.
Hopefully he won't ask you to go ahead and make some dung out of some dude's stuff and eat you a dung burger. But he's done it in the past. He just wants you to read your Bible.
Yeah.
You don't have to eat dung. Just live for him.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Amen.
Amen. There's really not anybody here. I could keep going, right? They know Pastor Ryan's not here. They're not 50 people back behind their weight, and they're just, there's nobody there. There's nobody there. Where are they at? Oh, it's because I'm here. Never mind. They're out in the parking lot, right? Amen. Amen.
Yeah, you don't melt over.
Yeah, they went to Dover. Yeah, amen, amen. Oh, I'll say this. Check this out. I could probably go to Dover. Well, maybe not me. Another Dover somewhere else. But I'd go to Dover and be like, and to show up. And guess what? They'd probably make me a pastor. Those of you that want a pastor position, do something like that. You know what they do? They got like a director's pastor. They got a conference pastor. They got a this. They got like 10 different pastors on staff. Why do they do that? Everybody's got to have a position to feel important. And to get a salary. Huh? I don't think so. I checked it out this morning and looked, but I didn't see that. That's good. It's good for them. You know, it's never wrong. I'm with them as long as I can go. The guy might even be saved. He might even wear a colored shirt that I'm not happy about. But you know what? If he's saved and he's doing the right thing, guess what? I'm for him. Because that is what matters. Because Bob Jones used to always say what? You can go along, I'm paraphrasing, but you can go along the road as far as you can with somebody, but when down the right road. But when they veer off, that's where I get off to. And the only way to get there is from reading your Bible. Yep. Amen. You didn't realize all that stuff was in 2 Timothy chapter 2, did you? First verse. You didn't realize all that stuff was in that first verse, did you? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have a good time in your word this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these truths, Lord, that I didn't learn them at PBI, Lord, but what I did learn is how to be more militant, Lord. I learned how to think properly with your word. Lord, I learned how to take the Bible and how to read it and look through it and look for your character and how you do things and how I wouldn't do them, Lord. Lord, I pray for not only myself and others in my family, but the Christians in here. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to take these truths with them to home today. Think about it, Lord. If they want to come up later and say something to me, I'm okay with that. But look, the truth is, Father, these people need help. I need help. They need to get their minds out of the gutter, Lord. They need to get their minds out of the TV and the Facebook and all the things that distract them from your word. And Lord, I pray you bless this church and help them biblically and spiritually, Father. That's the goal this morning. Lord, I pray you bless this time, Father. We love you. And I pray that you bless the rest of this service, Lord. Help the kids downstairs, Lord. The adults might be too late, and some of them don't care. But these kids, Lord, I pray you give them something and help them, Lord, to grow up and continue on with the truth. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.